Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
There's a series of tests done to evaluate how well a person can make a decision in a crisis when there's a real sense of urgency. In one test, they brought someone into a bathroom where a bathtub was quickly filling from water from the faucet and was getting close to overfilled. The person was given three items they could use to get the water out of the bathtub. That's the goal. A teaspoon, a tablespoon, and a cup. They were told that their job was to empty the tub of water as quickly as possible. Now, if you were in this scenario, which would you choose? A teaspoon, tablespoon, or cup? Well, you choose the cup, right? You have to do something, and that seems like the best option. And that's what most people do, just about everyone. They grab the cup and they start frantically bailing water out of the bathtub. But a small percentage of people, when presented with that situation, don't act frantically. They step back for a moment and think, and they turn off the faucet and unplug the drain. Then they grab the cup and start bailing water. I think most of us have crisis issues in our lives. Our finances, our health, a relationship, an addiction. And what we tend to do is just grab at whatever seems to be the best option available to us. So we get a cup and start frantically bailing water because we know something has to be done, right? So a husband finds out his wife is going to leave him because he can't control his temper. What does he do? He enrolls in an anger management class. He's got to do something, and that seems like the best option, right? Or let's say a couple realize they can't hardly even make the minimum payments on their credit cards. Things are falling apart financially. What do? Well, they go out and they buy a self-help book on money management, and they decide to have a garage sale. That they have to do something, and that seems like the best option, right? Or a man starts to have chest pains. His eating and stress have finally caught up to him. What does he do? Well, he goes on another diet and gets a membership at the local gym. I mean, he has to do something, and that seems like the best option, right? Now, none of those options, none of those courses of action are bad. In fact, they're good, and there is a place for them. But they're like grabbing the cup to empty the filling tub. They don't get to the source of the problem, and so they won't bring about lasting change. The problem is still flowing out of wherever the problem is flowing out of. And so instead of behavior modification, what we need to do is figure out, how do we turn off the water, right? How do we stop the faucet? That's what we're going to talk about today as we launch into a brand new series. I am currently on sabbatical. On our staff, every 7 years, you get like a two-month break for kind of spiritual renewal and recharging. My sabbatical is now more than half over. I'm going to be back with you guys in just a couple weeks, but I knew that you could not go that long without me, and I can't go that long without you. So here I am via video kicking off this new series. In this series, we're going to look at some of the book of Proverbs in the Bible. Proverbs is a book of wisdom for life. It's great. And we're going to look at a few of the themes that we find in Proverbs. Proverbs was written by a guy in the Bible named King Solomon. We actually looked at another book of the Bible that he wrote, his personal journal called Ecclesiastes, back just a few months ago, like in February. And we talked then about how Solomon had incredible wisdom, though later in his life, he didn't always apply it to his own life. Today, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4. If you have a Bible, you can turn there and read along. If not, it's totally okay. We're going to put all the verses here on the screen for you to read. And if you don't own an easy-to-read translation of the Bible, we give them out for free at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. We'd love to give you a free Bible today. Now, before we jump into this, I want you to think about an area of your life that needs some attention, something in your life that needs to be changed. Is there an area where the water is rising and you know that you need to do something, right? There's a problem. What is it? Maybe it's an eating problem or an anger problem. Maybe it's a pornography problem, or it's a gossip problem, or maybe it's a spending problem for you. What in your life is a little bit out of control, a little bit in crisis, and needs something to change? Now, most of us, when we realize we have a problem, what we do is we make a list of behaviors we're going to engage in, or we've been engaging in, that need to be changed. And so our focus really is on behavior modification, right? What can I do different that will help me to start living different? What do I need to stop doing? What do I need to start doing? And that seems like the obvious solution, right? Is it the teaspoon, the tablespoon, or the cup? You got to do something. Choose the best option and go. But what we're going to learn today as we study Proverbs chapter 4 is that there is a different and far better approach. That what we need to do first and foremost is turn off the faucet. Solomon is going to point us to the source of our problem. And so let's check it out. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Everything, the Bible says, flows from your heart. We're going to see later, Jesus said the same thing. And Solomon is saying here in Proverbs, look, there is this tendency to put your attention on your behavior, right? To just want to change the way you act. But all those actions are coming out of your heart. So you might think you've got an anger problem. No, what you have is a heart problem. You might think you have a spending problem. No, you don't. You have a heart problem. You might think that you have an eating problem or a pornography problem or a gossip problem. No, you've got a heart problem. And let me just say, my problems, I've got problems too. I'm not judging at all. My problems are heart problems. And yes, you can try to change your behavior. That's what we do. And if you do, you might see some temporary change. You probably have it. You know, it might last a couple weeks or even months. Things get better. Many of you have been on that cycle, I bet, right? Probably for years you've tried to change some behavior in your life, and you tried to eat healthier so you can lose weight, or you tried to quit smoking or reduce your anger so you can stop yelling at your family, and it works for a few weeks, but it's exhausting, and soon you're back where you were. Why? Because you've been trying to bail water, but the faucet is still running. And as quickly as you're bailing it out, it's filling back up again. Solomon says, the problem is your heart. We're going to see later, Jesus said the same thing. He said, the problem is that the faucet is on and your issues are flowing out of your heart. Solomon wrote Proverbs in the Hebrew language. And in Hebrew, the word for heart literally means the kernel of the nut. That does not sound as romantic as heart, though, does it? But what if a guy looked his girl in the eye and said, and instead of saying, like, "I'm giving you my heart," what if he said, "I'm giving you the kernel of the nut"? No, that doesn't work. Or what if instead of the song being "My Heart Will Go On," Titanic, what if it was "The Kernel of the Nut Will Go On"? Nope, that's not going to work. What if instead of the guy saying, "Baby, you're breaking my heart. What if he said, baby, you're breaking the kernel of my nut? No, it's not going to work, right? But the word actually means the kernel of the nut. And the idea is that your heart is like the core of who you are. And if you read through the book of Proverbs, you'll read that word heart more than 75 times because it captures the core of who we are and everything flows from it. Listen to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. It's our heart that defines us. It's our heart that determines what we do and what we say and how we act. Sometimes we do or say something and we don't even know how it happened, right? Like, we don't know where it came from. We're surprised at ourselves for what came out of our mouths or what we did. It may surprise another person. They might ask, where did that come from? Right? Maybe you ask that about yourself. Where did that come from? Or a pastor has an affair. You ask him, how did it happen? His answer, I don't know. I don't know how it happened. A husband strikes his wife. He never imagined he'd do something like that. You ask him why, and he says, I don't know. I don't know how it happened. A teenage girl makes a decision that she's going to remain pure until marriage, and then she ends up sleeping with her boyfriend. You ask her how. I don't know how it happened. A woman has an affair with her best friend's husband. I don't know how it happened. A mom curses at her child. You know, they had all sworn that this is the kind of thing they would never do. And then they wonder, how did it happen? Where did that come from? Have you ever wondered or been asked, where did that come from? You're not sure. Solomon would say, I know where it came from. It came from your heart. And we can address our behaviors and we might make some temporary progress, but until we get to the heart, there will not be lasting, significant change. Think of it this way. Imagine you're taking a hike and you come upon this creek in the woods that's heavily polluted. You decide, I'm gonna do something about this. And so you see all this trash lining the banks and floating down the river, and you just start cleaning up the trash as quickly as you can. You're going through, you're getting all the trash. You spend a few hours doing this, and you see you made a difference. There's still a little trash left, so you decide that you're going to come back the next day, maybe two, and finish cleaning it all up. And so the next day you return, and you find that there's just as much trash as when you started the day before. So you spend a few hours cleaning it up again, and you do it as frantically as you can. You get a lot of it up, and the next day you come back to finish up, and there's just as much trash as there was the first day. So you clean again, you're exhausted again, you come back the next day to finish it up, and there's just as much trash. Finally, you decide to walk upstream and see, where is this trash coming from? So you hike a couple miles upstream, and what you find is a garbage dump. Turns out this creek runs right through a garbage dump. And see, you can work hard at cleaning up the trash downstream, and you might make some progress that day. But if you don't address where the trash is coming from, then you're going to continue finding yourself in the same situation day after day. It'll just be this endless cycle. And Solomon says, listen, that's what our heart is for us. Sometimes trash starts to show up in our lives and we don't know where it came from. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? And so we decide, I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. But we decide to get rid of it. It feels like we're working really hard to get rid of it. And then we wake up the next day and have to do it all over again. It's like, man, I'm back where I started. I still have the same issues. Why can't we get ahead? Solomon says it's because it's flowing from your heart. You haven't gotten to the source of the problem. So what do we do? Well, we need to recognize our problem is a heart problem. My problem, your problem, it's a heart problem. cardiologists do a test called an interiorgram. It's a test to find out where there's blockage. They'll inject a dye and then take an x-ray, and the x-ray will show where the blockage is. It's awesome. And then they can address the heart problem that you have, and you can find a real solution. But what's challenging is oftentimes this test, this audiogram, isn't even done because the symptoms don't seem to be cardiovascular in nature. You know, maybe the patient's having some back pain or can't sleep very well or has anxiety. Well, that doesn't seem to be heart-related. So the patient will just treat the symptoms and they ignore the heart issue that's causing the symptoms. And that's true for a lot of people, not only physically, but also spiritually. When we realize we have a problem, we try behavior modification, but it doesn't work. It's interesting, the Old Testament of the Bible, the part of the Bible before Jesus came, in some ways, it's all about behavior modification. There's lots of laws, thou shalt do this, and thou shalt not do that. And there's lots of behavior modification. And that's why the Old Testament didn't work. In fact, in the New Testament, the part after Jesus came, we read that what God intended for the laws of the Old Testament to do was not to change our lives. He knew they couldn't, but to show us what was wrong with us, that our issue is a heart problem, and that it's our heart problem that needs to be addressed. God knew that back in the Old Testament times, and that's why he made a promise back then of what he would do for us when Jesus came, if we would just put our faith in him. God promises us in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Listen, when we say yes to God by putting our faith in Jesus, which, I mean, you could do that today if you've never done that. When we say yes to God by putting our faith in Jesus, what he does for us, when we put our faith in what he did for us on the cross, when we say yes to a relationship with God, that's what God does, what's described in that verse. He gives us a new heart, which is what we need. And he fills this new heart with his spirit, which is his presence. I love the Bible verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It says that God pours his love into our hearts through his spirit. That's what we need. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never said yes and put your faith in Jesus. If not, that's what you need. Not behavior modification, but a heart transplant. And that's what God is offering you through Jesus. And listen, if you do want that, or if you want to talk or ask questions about that, we'd love to do that with you. You can talk to someone at the Velcro Bar today, which is our connecting place in the back of the room, or you can let us know in your connection card and we'll connect with you however you want us to. Listen, we need new hearts. And then we need to guard our hearts. Again, remember, Solomon wrote in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your hearts, for everything you do flows from it. He says, above all else. In other words, make this your highest priority. Treat your heart like it is your most valuable asset. This is why Jesus put such a focus on the heart. If you read through his teachings, he seems to be shockingly unconcerned with a lot of the behavior that he sees. Instead, over and over again, he goes straight to the heart. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were the exact opposite. They never talked about the heart. For them, it was all about behavior and all about behavior modification. Listen to what Jesus says of them in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And Jesus has no patience for that. Later in that same chapter of the Bible, he explains why the heart is so important. He says in Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19, the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. They all come, Jesus says, from the heart. See, we see these things, you know, the things, what are you talking about, evil thoughts and murder and adultery and stealing and lying. And we think, where did that come from? Why did I do that? Why did that person do that? Jesus says, listen, here's where it came from. You may not want to admit this, but it came from the heart. Everything flows out of the heart. So, above all else, make your heart your highest priority. Above all else, Solomon says, guard your heart. We need to guard our hearts. We need to be incredibly careful about what we let into our hearts, because what we let into our hearts will change who we are. And eventually, it will come out. One of the most guarded areas in the world is Fort Knox, where they keep most of our nation's gold. To guard it, 16,500 cubic feet of granite is used, and 1,400 tons of steel, and over 4,000 cubic yards of concrete. The vault door weighs 20 tons. No one person has a combination. Various staff must dial in separate combinations only known to them. There are four guard boxes surrounding the structure. It's equipped with the latest in security technology. Every precaution is taken. And someone might say, wow, aren't they overdoing it? No, because what's in it is so valuable. They have to take every precaution. And as you read through the book of Proverbs and see how serious Solomon is about guarding your heart, you might think, wow, isn't he overdoing it? No, because it's so valuable. You have to take every precaution. So, how do you guard your heart? Well, honestly, there are a lot of ways to guard your heart. Probably a lot of things, but let's just talk about a couple. Solomon talks about a few of them in this same very chapter of the Bible. So let's look at those. First, through your ears. Here's what Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. He talks about our ears. And if you read through the book of Proverbs, what you'll read is again and again and again, Solomon is talking about how our ears, what we hear is so important, that our ears are a pathway to our heart. And so what you hear in life, whether it's good or bad, whatever it is, it's going to flow into your heart. And eventually, it's going to flow out of your heart and into your life. Now, I know there's a tendency to think this is kind of old-fashioned, right? To think, I don't need to worry about what I hear. I mean, come on, really? Like, the music I listen to, the comedians I listen to, the gossip I listen to, the joking at the office at work that I listen to. I mean, I'm not the one singing it, right? I'm not the one saying it. I'm not the one who's gossiping. And I'm not the one who's telling the jokes, right? I mean, it's not a big deal because I'm just listening. There's a tendency to think, I haven't done anything. But the Bible would say something is being done to us because our ears are a gateway to our hearts. And I wonder if you started monitoring what you hear, if you might realize that there is a lot of negativity pouring into your heart and it's affecting who you are becoming and your behavior more than you have ever realized. And listen, you need to guard your heart. How do you do that? How do you guard your heart? First, through your ears, and then second, through your eyes. Through your eyes. Listen to what Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Why? Why is that so important? Because what we see has a direct line to our heart. Honestly, even more than our ears do. Research says that we will remember about 11% of what we hear. You better remember more of what I say. But we remember about 80% of what we see. It's the gateway to our hearts. And so we need to guard our hearts through protecting our eyes. And again, I know that may sound old-fashioned. And there's this tendency to think that when it comes to our eyes, like, come on, I can watch this. I can look at this on the internet. I can read this book. I can check out this girl. I can watch this movie. I mean, I'm not doing anything. I'm just looking. You know, the Bible says that when we look, that opens the vault to our hearts. What we see flows into and fills our heart, and eventually it will flow out of our heart. That trash makes its way downstream, right? And that's where it's coming from. That's why it comes out in our life. And I know it's hard to realize what's happening because it happens just little by little. But there's this cumulative effect. None of it seems like a big deal. You know, one joke, one movie, one book, one thing on the internet. But it adds up. Advertisers know this. That's why they show the same commercials over and over and over again. They know there's a cumulative effect. And if they just keep planting the seed in our hearts, they know eventually it's going to take root. Right? This explains why so many people bought Snuggies. Right? I mean, let's be serious. The first time you saw a commercial for a Snuggie, you were like, what the crap? It's a blanket with sleeves? And you laughed at it. Who would ever want that? But then you saw that commercial again and again, and you saw it enough times, and you started thinking, I could really use a Snuggie. Who wouldn't want a blanket with sleeves in it, right? And you had it had this cumulative effect on your heart. In psychology, there's a law. They call it the law of exposure. The idea is that our mind absorbs and our lives will reflect whatever we are exposed to the most. So check this. The Journal of American Academy of Pediatrics cited independent research which showed that kids, youth, who view a significant amount of television with sexual content are twice as likely to be sexually active than those who watch little of such programming. They wrote this. This is the strongest evidence yet that the sexual content of television programs encourages adolescents to initiate sexual behavior and activities. A lady named Rebecca Collins, she's the psychologist who headed the study, she said this in the release. The impact of television viewing is so large that even a moderate shift in the sexual content of adolescent TV watching could have a substantial effect on their sexual behavior. Now, I know, you know, there's a tendency to hear this and to think, well, come on, like that's real old-fashioned, and parents who don't let their kids watch normal TV, they're being overly protective, and I don't want to be fuddy-duddy parent. But doesn't it just make sense? If our hearts are that valuable, if our lives flow out of them, wouldn't you want to take every precaution, right? But wouldn't you want to go to any length to guard your kid's heart, right? You wouldn't let somebody harm your kid physically. You'd do anything to stop that from happening. But their heart is more important. It is. That's what the Bible says. Everything flows out of our heart. And so shouldn't we want to do everything we can to protect our kids' hearts and to protect our hearts? How do you guard your heart? Through your ears, through your eyes, and third, through your mind. What you allow your mind to think about flows into your heart and will eventually flow into your behaviors. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. He's like, listen, it's all about your mind, about the thoughts that you think. And so get wisdom, get understanding. And when you get wisdom, man, when you get those right ideas, the right thinking, don't forget it. Don't turn from it. Don't stray from it. You focus on what's good and right. Keep thinking about it. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, right? Your mind is the gateway to your heart. So think about things that are positive and good and beautiful and godly, because that's what you want to fill your heart, and it will come out in your behavior. Now, the challenge for us is that we're constantly Googling or flipping through the channels, or we're on social media. And so we're just inundated with stuff that, honestly, it just doesn't qualify as noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, or excellent. And we need to be really careful, very intentional, to not allow too much that is negative, that's not pure, that's not reflective of the kind of life we want to live, into our minds, because it will come out in our lives. We also need to be strategic about kind of reprogramming our minds. You know, we've allowed so much in that doesn't reflect the life we want to live in our past. And so we need to start filling our minds with thoughts that do reflect the kind of life we want to live. Those thoughts will pour into our heart. Our heart's going to pour into our actions. That's why I think one of the best things you can do for yourself, one of the things that has helped me the most in life, is memorizing Bible verses. I mean, it's the best thing I've done for myself, I think. How do you change your heart so the same behavior doesn't keep flowing from it, whatever it is that your issue is that you don't want to do anymore? Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Again, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart. Why? So that I might not sin against you. You hide God's word in your heart. You memorize Bible verses. Jesus did that. There's a time when we see Jesus being tempted. There's a movie about it this summer. And the way Jesus responds to every temptation is by quoting a Bible verse that he had memorized. Jesus hid God's word in his heart, and it helped him to not sin against his heavenly Father. Memorizing Bible verses has been one of the best things I've done to help me grow spiritually and to see real change happen in my life and to help me live the way I want to live. When I realize that I've got an issue in my life, I've got this problem area in my life, I don't try to change my behavior. I start memorizing Bible verses about that issue so that I can change my heart. And as you memorize verses, you will be changed, not from the outside in, behavior modification, but from the inside out. So listen, I know the tendency is to put the attention on behavior modification. It's just the easiest option. Do you grab the teaspoon, the tablespoon, or the cup? You grab the cup, right? Start bailing water. But it doesn't work. We know that. We need new hearts, and then we need to guard our hearts through our ears, our eyes, and our minds. And you can do that. You can do that with God and maybe some support from some friends here at Verve. You can totally do that. You can see your life change by changing your heart, asking God for a new heart, and then guarding that new heart. So let's pray for that right now. Let's pray. God, man, the way we've learned to live life is often so messed up and backwards and wrong. And so, but it just seems so right. And so a lot of us have issues. I've got issues. And when we realize, oh, I want to change, what we do is we try to change our behavior. Okay, I'm going to stop doing that. And it never works. It never works. We just keep on being frustrated and finding ourselves doing the same thing. And the problem is we're going outside in. Behavior modification doesn't work. God, you know that. And would you help us to know that? God, what we need to do, you say, is change our hearts, to put our faith in you, and you do this heart transplant where we receive a new heart, and then we need to guard it. We need to be very careful about what we listen to, what we see, and what we think about, because all of that pours into our heart and then pours out in our behavior and our words. So God, would you help us to make a commitment, to make a decision? I want to live with wisdom. I'm going to guard my heart, so that I can start living the kind of life I want to live, the kind of life, God, that you want me to live and that will honor you. God, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.